Okay, I think that's enough of that. Anyway, please, here we go. This is it. This is it. Assuming the clock is right, and it is. It's 8 o'clock, and now it's time for Two of a Kind. Yes, I have my evil twin in the studio, and we're going to do radio tonight. So you'll hear him momentarily, but this is Radiola.
A melody from the sky. Over on the hill, I see a whippoorwill. I hear his song become a melody from the sky. And there's a bluebird singing to his lady love, above. A love song taken from the whispering breeze in the trees. Love is everywhere, its music fills the air. All nature seems to hum a melody from the sky.
Thank you.
This is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org, and you are lucky enough to be hearing Radiola tonight, and I'm really lucky enough to be broadcasting it. Not only that, I'm not lonely tonight because I have, well, I said he was my evil twin. Actually, I'm his evil twin. I think we've determined that. We took a vote, and I have in the studio Chris Walters tonight, who is a we met recently, and we discovered the astonishing fact that we both pretty much have the same interests in music. And tonight, this playlist is Chris's, except for Wake Up Chillin', which I have to play so people know it's not some other show, because there are a lot of shows that sound like this one locally. But I'm Andy Sr. Chris Walters, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Andy, and thank you very much for letting me come in and share my wonderful, glorious taste in music, which hopefully won't be disappointing to anybody, I hope.
It's not disappointing me. This is an amazing playlist, and I may have you write more of my playlist, by the way. I guess to just get to reaping all the glory here. But we started with
the first thing we heard was I thought we'd start off with something a little bright, up-tempo, snappy thing. That was Paul Tremaine, who I have been able to uncover next to nothing about, but apparently he had a territory band from the 20s to the 40s. Anything else that might be known about him? I certainly don't know it, but I'm sure someone out there probably does. But that was Paul Tremaine from 1929. And he gave us a 4/4 rhythm.
Yes, of course. Now we'll probably get letters from people who are related to him, because that always happens when I don't say I don't know anything about somebody. I get, and believe me, I got a lot of listeners who are, their people had territory bands, and were out there. A lot of obscure musicians had mm-hmm. and they said, "Oh, I'm glad you're playing my dad's records or my grandfather's records." It's true. It does happen. I'm so glad that happens too, because it's it keeps the stuff going, because otherwise nobody'd know, really.
That's right.
And then we had Bunny Berrigan.
Yes, indeed we did. Rollin' Berrigan, yes. From 1936. That was Chick Bullock on the vocal. And that was a tune that I've always liked. Melody from the Sky. And what a great melody it is, and just the whole sound of that whole record, especially with Bunny on the trumpet there, and it's just a great record.
That it is. I mean, I had never heard that record until you told me about it. Even though I had access to that set of recordings, I just have a lot of records I never play, and then you mentioned it, because better if you're gonna suggest something, that chances are it'll get me off on an interesting tangent, but that was a wonderful suggestion. And, of course, Jimmy Noone with 1929, Wake Up Chillin', and Joe Post in there. That's just beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
I decided to veer from the Ipana Troubadours, because it is basically a jazz show tonight. And I guess next we're gonna have Clarence Williams' Blue Five from 1923.
That's right, with Sidney Bechet, or as he pronounced it, Sidney Bechet, on the soprano, and I believe Thomas Morris on cornet, and Clarence Williams on the piano, of course. And this is the Wildcat Blues.
Wildcat Blues. Here we go.
Thank you. like your sound. Now listen, you little aggravator, if I do, come on you. Well, you'll have to see me later, cause, oh, by golly, I'm feeling devilish. I mean, I'm feeling rebellious. By golly, I'm feeling devilish now.
So nice and gentle with a love that song. I'll make life for you one grand sweet song. Oh, give me a break, sweet mama, and you can't go wrong. I'm for you, you for me. That's the only way two loving hearts should be. So just be glad when he puts you down. I'll pick you up for myself. Thank you.
love Lewis. Lewis is just kills me, and I fairly kills you too. So I guess we're both that now. But that's amazing. Yeah. That's just Louis there in his hot five from 27, right?
Right. Yeah, I picked that one because you know, usually when people want to pick something from Louis Armstrong, it's such a hard thing to decide what to pick. But I thought I'd pick that one. Because probably very few other people would pick that. I mean,
well, it's an obscure, obscure recording, but it's also an amazingly, it's certainly on a par with anything else he ever did.
Oh yeah,
and his playing is just.
I mean, you know, listen to the way that his phrasing, and you know, the way he just attacks his notes, confident, of course, as always, and. That was the sound of Louis Armstrong that I want to remember.
Yes, you know? Well, he did. I'll tell you, I love everything he did, even when he got into his later years.
Yeah,
because he was just, you know, the guy was just lovable. Whatever he did, but
absolutely,
that's when ideas were, you know, coming off him like crazy.
Oh yeah,
and he was right in the first bloom of his power as a musician, and what a sound.
Oh yeah,
what a sound there.
Yeah.
And before that, we had, oh, I love this. I hadn't heard this one. I'm feeling devilish.
Even devilish.
Oh yes, aren't we all? We'll see. We'll raise a little hell later.
That's
but
right.
That was from 1930. That was Fess Williams.
That was Charles Mingus's uncle, Fess Williams, and his Royal Flush Orchestra.
Charles Mingus's uncle.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not going to drop any names, but somebody I know, very close. I won't drop any names. But I'll just say it. My brother plays with his son, so I feel connected to the whole jazz universe, unworthily so, as I may. And before that, Clarence Williams's Blue Five, Wildcat Blues with Thomas Morris, you said. In there. It does sound like it wasn't Louis.
No.
Because you can tell. You can really tell. Even in 23, there was a huge difference. And that was, of course, Bechet in there. We already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go on here on radio. I'm Andy Senior. We're with and Chris Walters, my co-host for this evening, who picked an amazing amount of great records that I absolutely put my stamp of approval on. And you can say hi to the people at work if you like.
Oh, yes, yes. Hello to everyone whom I told I was going to be on. It's probably a good thing, but you know, not too many people are listening. So
well, they're listening.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they'll they're recording this. They're going to play it back to you.
That's
later.
Right. That's right.
Yes, and I will too, by the way.
Ah, good.
So we'll all have, you know, this is in the can already.
Ah.
But
hopefully,
Chris would tell you where he works, but he'd have to kill you.
Right,
Of course, with the size of the audience I've got, it wouldn't be too tough. But it's a very a secret agency we can't talk about.
Right.
But he's saying hi to everybody there,
right.
And I'm saying hi to all the people I don't work with, which is everybody. so now here's Ben Pollack, and this is a good show, a good pick here with this one from 28. What about Sentimental Baby?
This is, in this recording, we're going to hear three future band leaders, right? Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, and one of the Dorseys in there, I think? I could be wrong, and I probably am.
Well, the people there with
it. Jack Teagarden's in here. That's right.
Oh, yes. He led a band.
That's right. Yeah,
or the
briefly.
Band led him. Actually,
The band did lead him. Yeah, they had to.
They led him into chapter 11.
That's right.
Which was a very nice chapter, by the way.
And, I almost forgot. Jimmy McPartland, Bix Beiderbecke's protege, plays a beautiful, beautiful cornet solo on this. And it's a great... you know, anything by Ben Pollack is very listenable, and you know, just a joy to hear. And
yes, even some of the sweeter stuff. He had a good band.
Mm-hmm.
Good band leader.
Yeah.
So so instead of talking about it, we're not. After all, neither of our last name is. I just did that's grammatical as hell. I know that, but neither one of us is named Shap. So let's just play the record. Here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God! You know, sometimes you play those records and you don't, and you sometimes you have to listen to them again once in a while. I've heard that record since I was fairly young.
But I think I first heard that when I was in middle school. I was 12 years old. I remember. It was on a Friday night. It was Bix, Spider Bix's 85th anniversary of his birth, and they were doing a tribute program to him, and that's the first time that I heard Bix, and I've been entranced by him ever since.
Yes, and what did Eddie Condon say? It was just amazing. You can say it. This is adults listening.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Right. Well, Eddie Condon, when asked to compare Bix's tone, or rather to describe what Bix Beiderbecke's tone was like on a cornet, he said that it was like a girl saying yes, and I'd have to agree with Eddie Condon. He certainly knew. I mean, you know, he had a right to any opinion
Unfortunately, it took me until I was 26 years old to find out what that meant. But seriously, folks. Before that, you had Fats Waller and his buddies.
That's right. Looking good, but feeling bad. And
that was Sorry before. That was great record. Yeah. Love it. Indispensable.
Mm.
Looking good, but feeling bad. And despite the vocalists who could have used the gargle, that was a good record.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Probably Krupa there banging away.
Think it was, yeah.
Yes.
I think
we're going to have a consensus on that, and somebody may differ, but that's what I remember reading.
That might have been Henry Allen on trumpet, too, I think.
Those are marvelous, marvelous sides that Fats did in the 1930 era. And started with Ben Pollock.
Yeah.
And everything you said about that is true. It's a marvelous, marvelous recording. 1928. Mm-hmm. Sentimental baby.
Yeah.
And my comment was that it kind of beats the prunes out of the Trumbauer.
Oh yeah.
With that vocal on there, you can't live with that. But this was good. This was really
the
much better jazz.
The Trumbauer recording sounds kind of funereal, doesn't it?
A touch. And somebody's being very sentimental.
Yes.
They're being almost morose, in fact. Speaking of some things that aren't morose, we're going to continue here on radio. Before I do that, let me just say that tomorrow night on WHCL 88.7 FM, Mark Fuller will be on with Retro Radio. And Mark was in here in the studio to say hi a little while ago. And his show is wonderful. It's just like radio you remember from the 50s and 60s. He does some amazing production work and interesting. It's not just like playing records. That's what we're doing tonight. But Mark's show is really like radio, how it used to be, with jingles and comedy bits and the records of great oldies that he plays, some very obscure. And Mark is a wonderful guy. And I urge you to tune in tomorrow night, 8 p.m. here on WHCL 88.7, WHCL.org, if you like the 50s. And a lot of people like both. So if you want to tune in, that would be, that would be to your advantage, wouldn't it? So so now, here on radio, and I've already mentioned the callers. I'm Andy Senior. We're the Chris Walters tonight is my co-conspirator.
Thank you.
We're playing some music for you that was Chris suggested. This is his playlist, but it's oh my God, it's good stuff. Now here's the Chicago Rhythm King.
Yes, this is another tragic figure. This is a proof positive that you should never ride on the running board of a moving car. I believe that's how Frank Teschmacher met his demise, I believe. And he was only, 26, 25?
I think, wasn't that Don Murray? And it was actually Teschmacher was thrown out of a taxi.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Well, you shouldn't even ride in a taxi.
No.
Now that I'm going to get calls from the taxi people, don't even ride with me. Chris did because he's a brave soul. But no, just get off the roads when I'm on there because you'll know it's good for you. But... Chris isn't paying attention while I'm executing some of my fancy moves on the pavement. So, but here's Chicago Rhythm Kings,
the Jazz Me Blues.
Jazz Me Blues. That sounds vaguely suggestive, but we'll leave it at that. Here are the guys.
In your home backyard, and you'll see your castle in Spain through your window pane. Back in your home backyard, oh, you can go to the east and go to the west, but someday you'll come weary at heart back where you started from. You'll find your happiness lies right under your eyes, back in your home backyard.
Thank you.
Oh, now that's lovely. My. That is lovely. I don't know. You should be doing my show, and I should.
No.
I should be. We can switch jobs next week. No, this is what a lovely sound that is. Red Norvo,
yeah.
1933.
Yeah, In a Mist.
That's just in and Artie Bernstein in there.
Benny Goodman again on the bass clarinet, and Dick McDonough on the guitar.
Oh yes, yeah. Nice little. Despite the fact that the A&R man didn't much appreciate it.
No.
But we do. We're just glad they got in there to do those couple of things he did. Before that, lovely, this recording I'd never heard before you brought to my attention. I couldn't even find it anymore, but you apparently had it, so glad you sent it to me.
You're welcome.
Mackenzie and Condon Chicagoans.
Oh,
Red Mackenzie singing like his voice is pure whiskey and lovely. Back in Your Own Backyard from 1944.
That's right.
And Who was some of the star players on that
one? Oh, boy. Well, in the ensemble passages, of course, you heard Maxie Kaminsky on cornet and Charles Ellsworth Russell on the clarinet. That's Pee Wee Russell on the clarinet. And playing the wonderful piano work behind Red Mackenzie's vocal was Gene Schrader. And I got a drummer friend who's going to kill me if I don't get this right, but it was probably George Wetling on drums, I believe. And that's a great record.
Well, don't worry, your drummer friend won't kill you. He's too busy beating his skin.
Yeah.
So he won't beat you.
Well, he's probably working tonight. So.
Oh, he's working. So you're safe.
Yeah.
That's good. that's to be desired. Every musician should be working.
That's right.
Anyone who's sitting around listening to this is just, they're missing a gig tonight. I hope they're enjoying this instead. Coming up here on Radiola, and by the way, we are going to run over a little bit because we're talking, and that's part of it. You got two people in the studio. We have a conversation.
At least we should be.
Well, of course, indeed. If we were not talking to each other, it would be a hell of a show, wouldn't
it? It would be like Marcel Marceau. There'd just be silence.
Yes, of course. Believe me, that happens on this station, which is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org, broadcasting from Hamelin College in beautiful Clinton, New York. And let's continue now with Willie the Lion Smith. And this is I love his stuff, too.
Oh, me too.
I'm full of superlatives tonight, so I may need to, get a, take something when I get home, but.
Well, I thought we just heard In a Mist, and now we're going to have Fading Star.
Yes, and before I fade, I'll play it. Here we go.
Thank you.
FM, WHCL.org, and we're going to run over tonight. Well, I'm not going to say who we're going to run over, but I don't think anybody's coming on afterwards, so we can, we'll get our whole playlist done, but if you want to stick around, you're going to miss the first 10 minutes of whatever you're going to watch on TV.
Well, wait a minute. There's nothing good on TV, is there?
No.
Not tonight, anyway.
No. No, but there's a lot of good things on the radio.
Yeah.
One good thing, anyway. Yeah. You're listening to it. This is WHCL, 88.7 FM, WHCL.org in Clinton, New York. Beautiful Hamlin College, and it's the weather isn't too bad, so we thought we'd chance it tonight. So, Emmett Miller with Eddie Lang and the Dorseys.
The Dorseys.
God, what a sound. And he actually sang that song well. It wasn't hamming it up or doing some odd things to it that other performers would do on occasion.
Yeah.
but we won't mention them. Before that, James P. Johnson.
Yeah, Liza. That was from 42, I believe.
Yep, 42, and it was, he was, as if somebody had tuned that piano, it would have been perfect. That's my special bête noir right there. And I keep it in, they keep it down in the basement, throwing a scrap occasionally, and it doesn't bother me. Willie the Lion Smith.
Yeah, yeah. Fading Star.
1939,
right. I think that was for Commodore, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was his, he was recording a lot for them in that era.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard too much of Willie the Lion, but...
Mm.
The more I hear of him, the more I really like it. He's such a pretty style. Just lovely playing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very, very impressionistic too. You know. I listen to some of those things. You know, like Echoes of Spring and Passionette and Sneak Away and oh man, yeah, that's great stuff. Great stuff.
So Willie the Lion, and this is Radiola, of course. I've already said that about 80 times, but Radiola blog, in case you were looking for the playlist to this or any other Radiola that I've ever done since they let me have access to this microphone, that's at radiolablog.blogspot.com. Radiola blog, type it into Google. It comes up pretty near the top, so you'll find it. You really will, and this show will be archived very soon. I'll be having on Live 365 and perhaps elsewhere, but I'm happy. It's going to be a longer sound file because I'm talking right now. But here's George Van Upp, so let's just get right to it.
Yeah.
So what about this record?
Oh, my God. This is, you know, I first heard this, I think, about 4 years ago, and I couldn't believe that this was one guy playing. I thought, you know, maybe someone had done some fancy tricks with overdubbing, but back in the 40s, of course, they couldn't do that. At least, not that I'm aware of. But
Les Paul was working on it at that point.
But George Van Epps is as everyone out there doubtless knows, is the son of Fred Van Epps, who was the quintessential virtuoso banjo player.
You just insulted a lot of Wessel Ossman fans. Yes. Or Wessel Ossman. I always say it like it's some sort of anatomical structure, but Wessel Ossman.
Yeah. But this
see your doctor about your Wessel Ossman if it's bothering you. So I'm glad somebody's here to laugh at my jokes because I'm not. Anyway, here's George Van Upps with T for Two.
T for Two.
You have the exact year on this?
I think about maybe 40, maybe 49, I think, maybe.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah. I know it was Jump label, I know that.
Yeah, post-war, definitely. Yep. But here's a bit of post-war stuff. Yes, we're veering into post-war tonight, and it's well worth it, especially when you're talking about Van Upps. Here he is.